gosh, it's just such an honour to be speaking this morning. Pastor Sharon, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for believing in me, trusting me with the microphone. That's pretty brave. So thank you. How gorgeous was it today to wake up and actually see the sun? All right, here comes the sun. Thank you, Lord. It's so good. Hey, before we see it, let's just pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for this time together, God. I thank you for every single woman, Father, that finds herself in this building. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Right now, we just quieten our hearts. Father, we open our ears and we say, speak to us. Lord, I thank you for your word, that it has the ability to encourage and to change us, God, as we apply it to our life. And so we say, speak to us today, God, change us. Let us walk out of here, Father, more in love with you, Jesus, than ever before. So I just pray you bless this time in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the girl a bit of a squeeze as you sit down? You can squeeze her on either cheek. Squeeze. We're starting a new series this semester called Staying the Path. And last week, Pastor Marie spoke. I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear her, but if you didn't, I want to really encourage you to get a copy of the message. She spoke about legacy, and there was one line that she used. She said, the way that we live and what we leave is going to echo into the future. And the truth is, girls, just as Pastor Sandy said, God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. It's not just a little ditty. It's not just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. He really does have a plan and a purpose for you, something that he designed specifically for you to do. He gave you abilities and giftings. He gave you personality and to do what only you can do, a unique calling. And so we're going to have a look at this next semester, just about staying your path. But this morning, I want to talk about staying your path when everything goes wrong, when your prayers haven't been heard, when things don't happen the way you thought they would happen. And so I thought I would start very spiritually this morning by reading an excerpt from Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You Will Go. It says, you'll be on your way up, you'll be seeing great sights, you'll join the high flyers and you'll soar to great heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups will happen to you. And if you've lived on this earth long enough, you're going to experience hang-ups and bang-ups and things that you didn't expect to happen in your life to happen. And I have learnt that the longer I live, it's not what happens to you, girls, it's what you do with those circumstances and those situations. And so this morning we're going to take a little look at the life of Joseph. You know, the story of Joseph may be really familiar to a lot of you, or maybe not so familiar to some of you. But we're going to look at his life because I believe there were some principles that he applied to his life. As we glean from him this morning, I believe it's going to help us just on our journey. It's going to help us to stay the path when things are just not working out the way we thought, when prayers are not being answered the way we thought they'd be answered. And so I just want to give you a little bit of a background on Joseph. So he was the youngest brother. He was the youngest in his family, and he was his father's favourite child. Now, I don't know if you have siblings or if you grew up in a family where a sibling was favoured over you, but it's not really a good feeling, and it's really obvious when one parent favours another. And his brothers absolutely despised him. In fact, so much so that there were times they didn't even talk to him. Could you imagine being in a family and your siblings won't even speak to you? They won't even talk to you. Talk about a bit of dysfunction. But when he was 17 years old, he had a dream. 17 years old. Do you remember what it was like to be 17? To be thinking about what your life was going to hold, what you were believing, if you were a Christian at that time, what you believe in God was going to do in and through your life. So we're going to pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis 37, verses 5 to 11. And I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. I just love the way that it puts it. So in verse 5, it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, listen to this dream I had. We were all out in the field gathering bundles of wheat. All of a sudden, my bundle stood straight up and your bundle circled around it and bowed down to me. Bowed down to mine. His brother said, so you're going to rule us? You're going to be going to boss us around? I don't know about you, but I have a number of siblings, and at times I was put in charge of, you know, if mum and dad were, you know, going on an errand or something, I was in charge of them. And the good old famous, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss. Isn't it amazing? It's still the same thing thousands of years ago. You're not the boss of me. And they hated him even more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. He had another dream. So it wasn't just one, he had two. He had another dream, and he told this one also to his brothers. I dreamed another dream. The sun and moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. When he told it to his fathers and brothers, his father reprimanded him. What's all this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now his brothers were really jealous. So if it wasn't bad before, it's really bad now. But his father brooded over the whole business. You know, I don't know if, you know, as you grow up, like I said before, you have dreams. Some of them are just daydreams, wishful thinking. You know, you talk to little kids, what would you like to do? What would you like to do when you grow up? And it's something always famous or, you know, wanting to make a difference or wanting to be significant. I want to be a policeman or a fireman or an astronaut or the president. You know, it's always something grandiose. For me, I wanted to be a singer. Don't know about you, but I wanted to be a singer. So when I was about 10 years old, we had a John Denver record, you know, like an album. John Denver, love John Denver. Some of the young people are like, who the heck is John Denver? Anyway. And I would pull out a stool and I would sit it in the lounge room, but I'd be in an auditorium of thousands, girls. And I'd pick up my acoustic guitar. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm actually a champion at the Air Acoustic Guitar. Oh, I can riff that thing, I can play, it's amazing. And I'd stick on that record and I'd start to sing. Almost heaven, West Virginia, and the crowd would roar. And I'd say, thank you very much. Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. And I'll tell you, it was fun, but it was just a dream. It was a daydream. It wasn't a dream deposited by God. And there's moments where it's just imagination at work. Although, I was thinking about this story, and I thought, isn't that crazy? I would sing about Virginia when I was 10 years old. Shenandoah River, the home of the Shenandoah Valley. And here I am, Lou. Isn't that amazing? So you just never know. You never know, girls. I may not sing like John Denver, but I'll live where he lived, you know? We all have dreams. And so the first thing I want to talk about to stay your path is just to be really wise who you share your dream with. You know, Joseph, he was 17 years old. The boy just was not wise. His brothers hated him. Why would you go and tell them, oh, by the way, I'm going to be the boss of you one day? Like, it's just going to, like, rival them even more. So just be careful who you share your dream with. I believe that we are called to make a difference. We're created for purpose. We're created to live beyond something greater than ourselves. In fact, even psychologists will say one of the greatest needs of the human heart is for transcendence, to live beyond yourself, to live for something greater than yourself. And we all have dreams, each and every one of us. Sometimes time will just destroy it. Sometimes circumstance just destroy it. Sometimes just life destroys it. But we've got to be careful who we share that with. You know, even Jesus has had issues with people that were close to him. Sometimes the people that are closest to us, our family, the ones that should be cheering us on the most, are the ones that are like, what? You want to do what? Because they're so familiar with you that sometimes they don't get to see the potential that's in you. And Jesus had this problem. There's a scripture in John chapter 1, verse 46. He had come into a town to do miracles, and people were just like, who is that? That's Jesus? And Nathanael says, it's Jesus. It's Joseph's son, the one from Nazareth. And then Nathanael said, Nazareth? You've got to be kidding. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you know, miracles were limited because people had limited his potential. And so I wonder who's limiting your potential. I wonder who it is that you've shared your dream with, or you've shared what you believe God's called you to do, and they're just like, you've got to be kidding me. Don't surround yourself with people who say you're kidding. Surround yourself with people who will cheer you on. That's why coming to Sisters is so important. Coming to church is so important, because I know that in each of your families, there's circumstances. It's not all, you know, people are not always for us, even in our immediate family sometimes. But God says, hey, gather. Gather around people and women that will cheer you on. Don't surround yourself with people who are naysayers. You know, as we continue the story of Joseph, His dad asked him to check on his brothers. His brothers were tending some sheep in a city called Dotham, and his dad said, "Hey Joseph, I want you to go down and give some lunch to your brothers, feed your brothers." And his brothers saw him coming from a distance, and they actually plotted to kill him. Now, look, there's some dysfunction in my family, but really, they were wanting to kill him. But his older brother, who had a little bit of compassion, said, "No, that may not be a good idea. Let's just throw him into a pit and we'll tell Dad that a bear got him." And so that's exactly what they did. But little did they know from there, Joseph was going to be sold into slavery. And so we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 39, verses 1 to 6. It says, "After Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his household, bought him from them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph and things went very well with him. He ended up living in the home of his Egyptian master. His master recognized that God was with him, saw that that God was working for good in everything he did, and he became very fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. And from that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph." Wow, I wonder if your world's blessed because of you. I wonder if your house is blessed because of you. "And the blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the fields. And all Potiphar had to concern himself with was eating 3 meals a day. Gosh, that's a tough life, isn't it? Just have to worry about eating. That sounds like a good plan to me, but anyway. So the second thing to stay your path, to do it well when things are going wrong, is to serve others. You know, Joseph, the theme of his life, right throughout his life, that's the thing, girls. God gives you a dream and it sounds grandiose, but he doesn't tell you how you're going to get there. He doesn't give you the obstacles. It's like, "Oh, I've got a dream." It's like, yeah, it's going to be a long time coming and you're going to go through some stuff. But he served wherever he was, he served. He served Potiphar really well. He was diligent with what God gave him, and he was excellent in it. Excellence just means that you do it to the very best of your ability. He was excellent. You don't just get promoted being a slacker. You get it by working hard. And that word work, we don't like that word. But the truth is, it's going to take work. It's going to take doing things that you don't want to do, doing it when you don't feel like doing it, and serving others. You know, there are maybe women in here who you've got a real dream to own your own business, to be a businesswoman. Can I encourage you, wherever you find yourself in employment at the moment, you work as if that's your business. You work as if you own that business. You serve your boss, you serve your employer as best as you can. And I'm telling you, that stuff God sees, he sees it. Stay active. You know, the last thing you want to do when life is not going well for you is you just don't want to serve. That's the last thing you want to do. And yet it's the very best thing you can do. You know, girls, that cake for a cause? If you're having a bad day, bake a cake. Bake a cake and put it in that box. I'm telling you, it'll do you good. It'll do you good. You know, maybe you're a stay-at-home mum, and I have to tell you, mamas are the best. They're the most selfless women I know. But you know, as you iron the clothes, as you clean, pray, as you go about your housework, understand that you're doing it to actually serve your family. It's not just a task. It's not just a job. That God has called you in that position right there and right then, this time, for you to make a difference in your family. That you can be the arrow, the spearhead for your family to receive blessing. Just choose. Just go, "God, I hate doing this. I hate sweeping the floor. I hate ironing clothes." But as you do, as you iron whatever it is that you're ironing, whoever it belongs to, why don't you pray for them? "God, thank you. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Even though they're driving me crazy, thank you." That you would serve them well. Do you know, there's a great scripture in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped." It's in our giving that God meets us. It's crazy, isn't it? But that's the way the kingdom works. You give and you receive. The world says you give, mate, and you've got nothing left. But the kingdom doesn't work like that. It says you give and you receive. You give and you receive. And Joseph, his life exemplified that. He just served everywhere he was. He served. He didn't gripe, "God, my brothers, I don't even belong here. I'm in Egypt. I'm in a foreign land. What's going on?" He just served. He said, "Okay, God, this is where you've placed me, and I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability." So it sounds really good. He's in Potiphar's house and he is being blessed, and Potiphar's household's being blessed, and he's as high as he can go in the household. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife decides to seduce him, because Joseph was, he was a handsome man. Well, he has to be, because his mother was Rachel, you know, so what can I say? And so Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, but he ran away. And so because her pride was hurt, this man didn't want her, she accused him, wrongly accused him of taking advantage of him. And so Potiphar, you can imagine, was furious, absolutely furious. And he ended up being thrown in jail. I don't know if something's happened to you before, girls, where someone's accused you of something you did not do and you're living in the consequence of that. But Joseph, he was accused of something he didn't do and he was thrown into jail. So we're going to pick up the story just in his jail episode in Genesis 39, verses 20 to 23. It says, "But there in jail, God was still with Joseph. He reached out in kindness to him." Can I tell you, girls, in your deepest valleys, and you'll have valleys. And so, in fact, some of you may even be in a valley right now. I want to encourage you, God's with you. And he is reaching out to in kindness to you. He is with you. He is so for you. The Bible says there's no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. And it may look like all hell has broken loose over your life, but I want you to trust God to stay the path, to stay the course, because he's with you. He's with you. And it's not the end. It is not the end. He put him on good terms with the head jailer, and the head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prison. Again, he's in charge. He just had this spirit, this excellent spirit about him, that he didn't allow his circumstances, that he didn't allow himself to wallow in that, but he rose again. He ended up managing the whole operation. The head jailer gave Joseph free rein. He never even checked on him because God was with him. And whatever he did, God made sure it worked out for the best. The third key to stay your path well is to position yourself well. Joseph was faithful in the tasks that were before him. He didn't get frustrated. He excelled in the area, in the place that God put him, even though everything was against him. Everything. I can't imagine being wrongly accused and paying the consequence of being put in jail. I can't imagine it. And yet he didn't gripe, because he had a dream and he just knew God was going to be faithful to it. Do you know, in the early 90s, I worked in a resort on the Gold Coast. I'm from a place called the Gold Coast in Australia, and it's beautiful. In fact, one of the biggest industries there is tourism, because everyone wants to go there for vacation. It's gorgeous. And so I worked in a resort, in a holiday resort, and I was working in customer service. And you know the good old customer service motto, the customer is always right. I'll let you on a little secret. Sometimes the customer is not always right. Sometimes the customer is an idiot. And the reason that I know that is because sometimes I've been the customer that's been an idiot. Anyway, so we were having an issue at this resort where we had people that were parking out the front of the resort in no parking zones. There was designated parking areas, but there was also, you know, like fire lanes, you know, where it's got the big stripes, no parking, no parking, and yet people would still park there, which made it difficult if there was ever, you know, emergency vehicles that need to come onto the property. And so the management came up with this idea. They thought, well, okay, what we'll do is we'll put signs up saying there will be consequences if you park here, basically. And they designed a sticker that they put on the windshield of the driver's side of anyone that parked in the no parking zone. So when you got into your car, you couldn't drive because there was a big sticker that was, like, you know, messing with your view. And it was one of those stickers really hard to get off. You know when you buy a present and there's a price tag on it and you're so gently trying to get that stupid price tag off and it half rips and it's just painful, right? Well, it was one of those kind of stickers. And it was a fairly decent size. So one day I was at work and I'm sitting behind the desk and I hear this big thump on my desk and I look up and there is a man. He is so angry. Like, he looked like one of those cartoons with his red face and steam coming out his ears. In fact, I thought I could see steam coming out his ears. He's like, "Who put that sticker on my car?" And I was like, "Well, sir, that would have been our security department that would have done that." I said, "Whereabouts are you parked?" I'm out the front. I'm like, "Okay. Are you parked in a designated car space?" He goes, I'm just out of the curb. I said, well, sir, the reason you've got that sticker is because you're actually parked in a no parking zone that's been clearly marked, and there's clear signs that say if you park there, there's going to be a consequence.
You've made me late. I was here visiting a friend and you've made me late.
And he was just going off like crazy, crazy. And I thought to myself, he's mad, he's frustrated, and he's blaming everyone else because he positioned himself wrongly. And I wonder how many times we do that, girls. In our thoughts, we just position ourselves in the wrong place. Maybe when it comes to friendships and people we hang out with, we just position ourselves to allow voices to speak into our life that should never have permission to do that. Where are you positioning yourself that's just not healthy? Where are you positioning? I'm telling you, girls, if you're frustrated, if you find yourself angry, and if you find yourself blaming everything else, then you've positioned yourself somewhere wrong. There's somewhere in your life you've positioned yourself incorrectly. And that's why it's so important just to do the basics. You know, spending time with God, there's no substitute for it. We can't just go, oh, I'll just cruise through this Christian life without really having a relationship here with Jesus. There's no substitute. There's no shortcut for it. You need to be spending time with God and on a regular basis. You need to find yourself connected in church, not just attending. I'm so grateful that you are here. I'm so grateful. And in fact, if you're here for the first time, or maybe this is an environment that you've never been in before or haven't been in for a while, we're so glad that you're here. It's the best place you could be. Maybe finding yourself in a connect group, connecting with other women. It is so vital for us to position ourselves well, especially through the tough times. I don't know about you, but I need that. It's really easy to isolate. In fact, sometimes it's easier. It's easier to isolate. It's like, oh. But it's not God's plan for that, for us to do that. We need to position ourselves well. Joseph did. He positioned himself in his heart. He positioned himself well. With what he did with his hands, he positioned himself well. So as the story continues, over time, the king of Egypt had a cupbearer and a head baker, and both of them got thrown into jail. So Joseph, because he was the head jailer, obviously got to meet them. And they both expressed to him dreams that they had had. And Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams. Amazing, right? God gives you the ability when you need it. When you need it. And he said to the cupbearer, you're going to live. The head baker, you're going to die. And that's exactly what happened. And so Joseph said to the cupbearer, listen, because the cupbearer went back to the palace. He said, just remember me. Remember me. Don't forget about me. Cupbearer's like, oh, got you, bro. No problem. I will not forget about you. What did he do? Forgot about him. 2 years. Over 2 years went past. Joseph's still in the jail, still doing his thing. And then one day, Pharaoh has a dream and nobody can interpret it. And the cupbearer's like, oh, I know a guy that can. So we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 41, verses 41 to 43. It says, so Pharaoh commissioned Joseph. I'm putting you in charge, because Joseph interpreted the dream correctly, right? So he said, I'm putting you in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his finger and slipped it on Joseph's hand. He outfitted him in the robes of the best linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He put the second in command chariot at his disposal. And as he rode, people shouted, bravo! Joseph was in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Well, I tell you, girls, to stay the path, to not give up, to keep going when prayers don't get answered, we just need to understand that God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. Joseph thought, man, this guy's forgotten about me. But Jesus hadn't. God hadn't. God had not forgotten about him. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret and say, we're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack. And because of his wisdom, he said, you know what we need to do? We need to store up enough food over that 7 years of plenty so that when there's the famine, we'll have enough food to sustain us through those years. God's timing is perfect. Don't get frustrated with where you're at. Don't get frustrated with your present. Because when you do, that's when you make stupid mistakes, stupid decisions. God is working on your behalf. Do you know, there's a little plant called the Chinese bamboo tree, and it's a pretty unique little plant. It's one of those plants that you put in the ground and you fertilize it and you water it. And the first year, there's nothing. Nothing, like not even a little, you know, what do you call that? Sprout, that's right. Not even a sprout. Second year, nothing. Third year, there's nothing. The fourth year, now me, I'm not much of a green thumb anyway, but I'd be like, oh, I would have forgotten about it by then. Fourth year, still nothing. But in its fifth year of life, something amazing happens. It will grow, within 6 weeks, it will grow up to 90 feet tall. It grows an average of 3 feet per day. Because what you don't see, looking out on the surface, is the fact that this bamboo tree is creating an extensive root system that's going to nourish and strengthen and support its expansive growth, its miraculous expansive growth. And sometimes there may not be anything that looks like happening in your life. You may be like, God, where are you? Where are you in this? And God's like, well, I'm working deep. I'm working deep. There's some roots I'm putting down. There's some roots I'm laying down. Don't ever get frustrated, girls, in your present, because you just don't know what God's doing. You just don't know what He's doing.
What am I doing?
There's something anyway. There's something to be said about longevity, and there's something to be said about patience, and there's something to be said about just trusting when it all doesn't look like it's happening. As Emily comes back, you know, the story of Joseph continues, and this is the best part of the story because, you know, there's a famine in the land, but Egypt has food because of Joseph. And so his brothers come down to beg for food, to ask for food, to buy food. And little did they know, they're standing before the ruler of Egypt, and it's their brother. And I'm going to so cry, but anyway, it's good. It's so good. Because God is so faithful. And they came and they bowed down before him, just like his dream. They bowed down before him. But it wasn't to rule over them. It wasn't to say, I am Joseph, the chosen one. It was actually to save them. Okay, hang on. And in Genesis 45, verses 4 to 8, I'll read scripture, that's always a good thing, right? It says, come closer to me, Joseph said to his brothers, and they came close. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Boy, that would be a great reality show, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh.
But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourself for selling me, because God, he was behind it. He was behind it all the way. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. And so the last thing to stay the path, not to give up, even when things aren't working, is to not give up. Just don't give up. Because whatever you're going through, it's never just for yourself. Never is. Never for yourself. It's for the salvation of others. You know, in 2011, and most of you know this story, I had lived here in the States for 12 years. And then I had visa issues, so I had to go back to Australia. Wasn't my choice. Didn't want to go. Was pretty devastated. And yet, in the nearly 5 years that I was back in Australia, most of my family are not Christians. And I got the opportunity to actually live with my mum and dad and my sister, which was a joyous occasion, I have to say. But I got to be a witness to them. I got to be up close and personal in their lives. I had two nieces that didn't know Jesus that I brought to church, and they came to know Jesus, and they're just flourishing. And I just think that would never have happened if I did not go back. And sometimes there's some circumstances and situations that you're going through and you just don't understand. God, I thought you were a God of love. I thought you were for me. I thought you were with me. He so is. But he is working way beyond what you can imagine. And it's always for others. It's not just for ourselves. It's always for others, girls. Always. Always for the salvation of others. And I love Joseph's spirit. He didn't hold grudges against his brother. He didn't blame them. He said, it's okay, I forgive you, because what you meant to do for evil, God meant for good. God meant to save others through it. So it's okay. It's okay that I went through all that stuff, because Joseph was a man who lived beyond himself. And I'm telling you, girls, we need to be women that live beyond ourselves, that live beyond ourselves. There is a community of women in this city that do not know Jesus, and they need us. There are neighbours beside you that do not know Jesus. And let me tell you, they are watching you. You may not know it, but they are watching. Your children, they are watching you. Your friends, they are watching you. And the way you live this life and the way you stay your path, the way you stay your course is going to speak volumes, volumes to them. I want to encourage you, God is with you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Even though it may feel like it at the moment, it's not going to. It's not going to. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, it's one of my favourite verses. It says, God can do anything you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. But he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently working within us. Are you allowing the spirit to work within you? Just like we sang, are you chasing after him? That's a great song. I'm chasing after you, God. It's a great song, great words. But unless we're actually doing it, it's pretty meaningless. God, I'm chasing after you. I don't want anything else, God, but you. Father, in this situation, I am believing and trusting you that you're going to come through in this. There's a moment where we have to get a tenacity about us, where we have to actually fight for the things that God's called us to do. Because there will be opposition, and you'll be surprised where the opposition comes from. But stay your course, girls, because it's greater than you. It's greater than you. It's bigger than you. So to stay the path, just use wisdom when you're sharing what God's placed in your heart. Serve others and serve them well. Position yourself in the right places. Position yourself well. And understand that God's timing is perfect. And don't ever, ever, ever give up. Don't ever give up. Do you know the end of that Dr. Seuss book says, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. And there's a part where we just have to pull up our bootstraps and we just have to do it. We just have to get on our way. And you know, there are women in here who love Jesus, who know Jesus, who have walked with Jesus. But there are others here that may not. And I want to extend an invitation to those that have never said, Jesus, I need you. Come and be the Lord of my life. Take over, because I am sick of trying to live this life by myself. Trying to do it on my own. And you know the beautiful thing is, it's as simple as that, and Jesus will come. He will come. Come and invade your life, invade your world. I can't imagine going through life, climbing mountains and going through valleys, which we all do, without Jesus. There are other women here this morning, and at one point you did. You have said, Jesus, yep, I want you to be my Lord. But if you're really honest with yourself, you know you're not where you need to be. This morning, you need to make your peace with God. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. So I just want to ask that every eye would be closed and every head would be bowed this morning. God's presence is here, girls. His very presence is here. Before the foundation of the earth was ever formed, he had you in mind. He thought about your sweetheart. He knew you. He constantly thinks about you even now. His eye is upon you. And I want to just extend this invitation. If you don't know Jesus and you want to say yes to him this morning, or perhaps at one stage you did, but if you're really honest, you just know you're not where you need to be. You haven't positioned yourself correctly. Then I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I just want you to raise your hand high enough and long enough in the air. I'm going to acknowledge it. And then you can put it down. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I'm going to say a simple prayer. In fact, we're all going to pray it together. But I just want to know who it is that I'm praying for this morning. So one, Jesus loves you. He loves you. Nothing you can do that can separate you from his love. Nothing that you've done can separate him from you. Two, today is your day. This is the moment. This is the moment. No more waiting. Three, all over this place, just raise your hand. High enough and long enough. Thanks, honey, I see that hand. Thanks, honey, I see that hand. Who else this morning? I know, I believe there are others. You need to make your peace with God. I actually believe it's a crucial moment in your life right now. Who else? Thanks, honey, I see your hand. Who else this morning will say yes to Jesus? Say yes to Jesus. I'm going to stay this course, God. I'm going to stay this path, Father. Who else this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Holy Spirit. Thank you, even now you're ministering to women. Jesus. Jesus. Let's say this prayer together, girls. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and rising again so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be made whole. Right now, I ask you to come into my life, to be the Lord of my life. I thank you for my future. I thank you for hope. I thank you for being my Lord.
Thank you for being my Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.